understand, that's kinda late. And I gotta get home to my son, cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him, I need to breathe him. That's my baby, don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed, yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed, yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed, yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left, yeah. My son, father doing is absolute. I'm so blessed, 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 blessed. Yeah, yeah, yes. And I know what I know. And I know.
And good evening, everyone. This is Vertical Live Radio. And our program is Woman on the Rise today. If this is your first time here, Vertical Life Magazine is part of Vertical Live Radio, and our mission is to uplift and educate and inspire social change in our local neighborhood for the betterment of our global community. And we do this by talking to creative and innovative individuals that are not normally featured in mainstream media. So tonight, our featured program is Woman on the Rise, where we're inspiring women to overcome the barriers to their success by hearing conversations from other women who have faced their challenges of pursuing their passion. And tonight, our guest is Danya Zimmerman. And before we go on to introduce Danya, we want to acknowledge our guest business sponsor for tonight, which is Alkalogic. So everyone hold on and we will come back and talk to Danya Zimmerman.
What's in your water? Alkalogic water is water that makes sense. We are a globally recognized alkaline water company specializing in the purification and remineralization of city tap and well water, offering under-the-counter alkaline water and reverse osmosis systems, filtering out 100% of the fluoride, chlorine, chloramine, nitrates, gas, bacteria, microorganisms, odor, and much, much more. We also offer space-saving countertop units, floor model 3 temperature alkaline water systems, as well as softening and conditioning systems for the entire home. We take pride in listening to what the customer's needs are and then customising the best solution for your family. Our systems are designed to suit every budget imaginable. Our motto is, hydration is the new, healthy, fit and happy. Drink healthy, stay healthy and feel healthy with Alkalogic water. Water that makes sense. Please contact Fee King, your local water lady, for more information. 1-844-344-ALKA-2552. You can also find us on the web at www.alkalogic.com or send your inquiries to fee.king@alkalogic.com.
And thank you, Alkalogic, for sponsoring Women on the Rise tonight. If you call Alkalogic at 1-844-344-2552, speak to Fee King, and they're giving you a 10% discount on a system if you mention Vertical 10. So, you know, alkaline water is really good for you, and I hope many of you will give them a call and try out the system. And now, I'd like to introduce our guest tonight, Danya Zimmerman. Danya is the principal owner of Powerful Biz Woman. She is a business consultant, aspiring author, and a public speaker and a trainer. She received her Juris Doctorate in Law from the University of Baltimore Law School, and we are happy to have her on today to talk about what she does and about her two books that will soon be released. Now, I hope a lot of you are taking notes, because one of Danya's things that she really focuses on is conflict resolution. And I believe a lot of us could use a great coach, trainer, speaker to talk about conflict resolution, especially with our businesses. So now I'd like to welcome Danya. Danya, how are you tonight?
I am doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited about having you on tonight. We had a little bit of a conversation, and I know that everyone listening is going to really be inspired by our conversation tonight. So, Danya, I would love for you to give our audience just a little brief bio about you, more than what I've already told them in the beginning.
First of all, Celeste, I would like to thank you for having me on your show tonight. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to reach out to your audience. And also, with me, I had a law practice. My first business was a law practice. And I was in practice for about 15 years, between 10 to 15 years as a lawyer. But towards the end of the practice, kind of got tired of it, and I wasn't passionate about it, and I didn't have the drive like I used to have. And what occurred was that I had to give that business up. And then I took a little break to figure out what was I going to do with my career at that stage. And I began looking for jobs, but I was unsuccessful with that. So then I said, well, if I can't find a job, I'm going to create a job. So I took some training as a mediator through the community mediation of Prince George's County, in Prince George's County, Maryland. And then I took a course on business consulting to become a business consultant. And the new business that I started in May 2013 is family and community mediation and business consulting. And my second business is Powerful Biz Woman. Family and community mediation and business consulting is FACMBC for short. And the main purpose of that business was to assist people with starting their business, give them the tools and resources they needed to properly set up their business and start it. And with Powerful Biz Woman, that is my brand. That's who I am. And my target audience is women between 35 to 65 years old who are in the second stage of their life, and they've always desired to start a business or to do something different in their life, and that's what Powerful Biz Woman does. And basically, the reason why I combine business consulting and conflict resolution is because when I had to end my law practice, I was sued by some disgruntled clients and disgruntled employees, and I had to go to court, and it wasn't a pretty picture. So I figured by becoming a mediator and, you know, becoming an expert in conflict resolution, I can teach my clients when they're starting up their businesses, I can teach them how to make sure that in their contract they have an arbitration clause or a mediation clause, whereas if they have a dissatisfied customer or dissatisfied employee, before they can go and file a lawsuit against you, they need to try mediation, arbitration, or conflict resolution to see if that way the issue can be resolved before involving court. Because once you get court involved, it's dragged out, it becomes public, it's public information, right. And sometimes you don't want your information out in public. So for me, that's why I believe that business and conflict resolution are very key. And conflict resolution is key to anything in life, whether it's business, your professional or personal life. Because with conflict, as I've learned, with conflict resolution, mediation, arbitration, you learn how to deal with stressful and, you know, unpleasant situations in a very amicable and pleasant way. Instead of being harsh and cruel to each other, you learn how to hear each other out. That's the most wonderful thing about mediation. It teaches you how to listen and to communicate with each other.
Well, one of the great things that, you know, as far as what you're talking about in conflict resolution, as you talked about mediation, it's really interesting because I've noticed in the last few years that a lot of even agencies where you go complain, they're doing the mediation first. Would you say that you have a lot of issues resolved quicker through mediation than you do through court system?
Yes, because even when I was an attorney, my main area of practice was like bankruptcy, foreclosure defense, and family law. And mediation mm-hmm. and conflict resolution was really amazing for my family law clients, especially when it was dealing with child custody issues, like custody and child support and visitation, because if the parties were able to go meet with a third neutral party, because that part, the mediator, has nothing to do with the issue. They're only there to facilitate the conversation, to get the conversation going. And the parties are there to resolve the issues themselves. And the number one thing that a lot of people say when I volunteer to do mediation is they appreciate the fact that they were allowed to be heard. They appreciate the fact that they were allowed to voice their opinion without being interrupted by the other party. And that's what the mediator does. And so I find that mediation does benefit, and some people actually like going to mediation. Once they have experienced it one time, they like going to mediation to resolve other issues they may have, especially in family law when you're dealing with children. Mediation is a good tool to use as the child grows older to deal with custody, to deal with other issues. And I find that in some cases, many courts find that at least 45% of their cases get dropped due to conflict resolution, arbitration, or mediation.
Well, you made a good point because I know I've sat in on some cases for friends, and you're right as far as the way the court system works. And, you know, every judge has their own reason that place is because of the time frame, for one thing. They may be hearing a lot more cases than one in that particular setting. But I do like what you said about the thing about media arbitration is that mediation is because both sides get a chance to tell their side. And a lot of times you find out, at least, you know, I think a lot of times you find out when you have that opportunity to say your part of the story, that you realize, both of you realize, well, it's not really that bad, you know, that it, because we don't, you know, we're not willing to hear the other person's side. A lot of times we get harder on ourselves.
Exactly, and that's the main thing that the participants, the parties in the mediation say, never listen to me. And sometimes they'll tell the other party, this is the first time you have ever listened to me. And I have mediated a lot of cases involving teenagers and their parents. And the wonderful thing about Maryland, where I live at in the state of Maryland, they even have a program where they teach teenagers how to be mediators and conflict resolution specialists, especially in the high school when you're dealing with bullying, you know, with suspension issues, child conduct issues. They will have the students be mediators for each other when it involves two students. And now a lot of school boards are starting to use mediation when you're dealing with special ed, like the IPE, individualized personal assessment of the child, so that the parents have a voice where they can say, well, I do not want my child to be in special ed, or I feel that you have not provided my child with the best services they deserve, because it was a time where the teachers in the school board were on the side of the teacher and the parents didn't have the advocate on their side. Whereas with mediation, the mediator does not take one person's side over the other person's side. The key to being a good mediator or arbitrator is that you have to always remain neutral. But in some instances, when you have judges who do arbitration after they're retired, and they have a relationship with one of the lawyers, it can be one side sometimes. So it's not always perfect. So whenever you're dealing with arbitration or mediation and you have a lawyer involved, you have to make sure that if the judge is the arbitrator, if it seems like the judge is being too friendly with the other side, you can always request to say, look, I don't want to be a part of this. We want to get another arbitrator to handle this because it seems like you guys are too personable with each other.
Oh, interesting. And, okay.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about mediation is if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. And and another important factor to consider is even though you may go through the mediation, you may not come up with an agreement the first session. It may take a couple of sessions, or the parties may agree to certain things, but not a whole agreement, or they may orally agree or mutually agree and not put it into an agreement. So, for mediation, it's just a way for people to vent their frustration that they have of the party and then to move forward. And sometimes some people, when they go to mediation, they say that one thing that they have learned is how to listen and communicate better with the other party, especially when you're dealing with family circumstances.
That's fantastic. Yes, that's that really is. That's a great thing. It's and when you say what the percentage is, it's something that people should consider when they're in those situations to get a mediator or go that route. And then especially when you talk about court costs, when you talk about the difference between having something a public record versus private record, I think that's a perfect way to go. But now what I want to do is I want to ask you, because coming from having your own law firm to your own law practice to having your own business, what would you say have been some of the challenges with either, people, other business owners, or just changing your life in general? Because it is a big transition from working with someone else or what you got your degree in to saying, you know what, I'm going to have my own business instead.
The main challenge has been learning how to start over again. That's been the main challenge of having to start from scratch and having to, because as an attorney, I was making good money. I was doing good in the beginning. I did a lot of pro bono work, but some of the pro bono work I got paid for it through the organization. But with this new practice, with this new business, I have not been, financially successful the way I want to. But at the same time, it's been fun for me. It's been a slow process, and I've had to learn how to do things different. Because when I had my law practice, it was before social media. And in order to reach your clients, you had to do workshops. You had to be like an ambulance chaser. If you were sitting in court and there was somebody there who was acting as their own attorney, and we call that a pro se client, you would hand them your card. Here, give me a call, because you're being taken advantage of. Or it was a referral that if you did good for one client, they would refer their whole family and friends like that. But that's the pre-social media era. The post-social media era is you have to be an influencer. You have to do a lot of blogging, a lot of writing. You have to be out there on social media every day. You have to have a presence there. Everything that you do with your business these days has to be on social media, because now people are not doing that one-on-one contact. People are on social media. Let me get to know you on social media. But to me, with the social media, you can put on one particular face, and then when you meet the person in real life, they're nothing like what they put on social media. So for me, so I've always, and that's why you have issues with integrity and trustworthiness and genuineness. And that's why I try to only follow people who I have seen in certain circles, in certain network circles, people who I follow, who are local, who have, you know, who I feel are genuine with what they're doing. Because you have some people out there who say, oh, I can make sure you can get make $10,000 a month, but they're not telling you that they've been in business for over 20 years, that for 10 years, They were struggling. They may have had one client for a month, but they didn't have they didn't make $10,000 per month 10 years ago. They don't tell you the background story. And I like people, business people that I meet who will sit down and tell you their story. And you're like, wow, they're like me. That's why I like some of the social media platforms like Periscope and YouTube and Google Hangout because and Skype, because in a way you can connect with the people. You may not see them in person, so that when you do see them in person, you be like, hey, I know you. It's a pleasure meeting you. And you get to tell them, enjoy everything you put on social media. But at the same time, it is always good to do the old-fashioned way of business, which is networking, and go out and meet people person to person. That's the only thing I miss the pre-social media years of business, where you've got to meet people and you've got to establish personal relationships with them.
Well, I agree with you there, even though I try to keep social media in the perspective that it should be in. And it's interesting because I actually learned which each platform what they were popular for. So I made sure, you know, for what we do in our magazine that, you know, where we're at, that there's a real purpose behind it. But I do agree with you. I still think you cannot lose the human touch when it comes to business. You know, business is very crucial. And then as well as if you're dealing with customers from other countries and cultures, some cultures, they do business over dinner. They do business, you know, at the restaurant, or they do business in different settings. They don't necessarily do business on social media. So I agree with you there, and I also agree with you as far as, you know, who you invite on your social media. I have a great mixture of people. I'm always going through it because definitely in my type of business where you are working with all types of people and cultures, I'm always very respectful of that. So, and which some people are really not. They just pretty much invite anybody. They don't really know people. And my uncle used to say, he was a pastor, and he used to say, even in church, he said, you could see that same person every Sunday for 5 years and really not know that person.
Exactly.
You've just seen them at church. And he said, so it really takes interaction to build some type of relationship. So the one thing I do like about social media is that you can engage with people and kind of see what's behind what they're saying or some things. But one of the things about social media, I'm not sure how you feel about this. I noticed that one of the things about social media is that you do have a lot of people that really, like you said, they may not even have a business, you know. They're just on there to put negativity into whatever they hear because that's the kind of person they are. So those are some of the things that you really have to weed out when it comes to your business and social media. But I still prefer the human touch. I still prefer to talk to my clients on the phone before I, you know, have them on the radio, or if they're too far away, or meet them for coffee and be able to sit down and talk.
That's exactly right. And that's why I like to do radio shows, because all of the hosts of their radio show, they will call you before they have you on the show to get a little background information on you, to get to talk to you. That's why I tell people, if someone puts a puts an ad out there saying, hey, I need some guests for my radio show, that's a good connection. Because these hosts of these radio shows, they will remember you. If they feel a connection after they have the conversation with you, they will remember you. When they have events coming up, you'll be the first one to be one of their keynote speakers at the event. You will be one of the first that they will refer clients to. So I say a lot of people don't see social media as a good marketing tool. I see it as a good, excellent marketing tool that doesn't cost you a whole lot of money, and it's just the way you use it. Like, I've had to learn through trial and error how to properly use my social media platform. And like you say, I have some family members, because they're younger than me, that I'm very careful. If they put something out there on Facebook that I do not like and I do not want my customers or my colleagues or friends to see, I just delete it. And I'll delete it. And I'm very careful when I select friends. I used to be that person, ooh, I'm going to make this person my friend and make that person. Because you have some scammers out there. You have some people who act like they're somebody. So if it says that we only have one mutual friend, and I look at their profile, and it looks like they just took a picture off of Google Pictures, images, and put it up there, because I've had a few people that do that, and they put it up there, and they'll make it seem like they're this particular person, I won't friend them, or I will unfriend them. In every media social platform, you have to be very wary and careful who you allow to be your friends, to be your associates, on your social media platform.
Exactly. You really do. I have a one of my daughters. I'm always laughing because I'll say, somebody hit me up and they have your name as one of their mutual friends, and she's like my FBI. So she'll say, well, let me go look and see first, because a lot of people are attracted to the magazine, or they're attracted to, you know, the radio program, and so they'll hit me up on the radio program. But one of the things that, you know, I like what you said too, is that, you know, everybody's radio program is not for everybody, you know, so you have to find the right platform that's for you and what you do when you're, you know, when you're on Facebook and you're looking for friending, or you're looking for PR, you know, that's something that's very, very important. And also, you have to know your niche. And we had this conversation, you know, as well. I you know, tell people politely that I apologize. That's just not my niche, and I don't go outside of that. And it's been very, you know, it's been very good and less stressful for us as an organization, you know, when we can say that. Sometimes I have to pull in employees and say, remember, that's not our niche. And then we, you know, pretty much run pretty smooth. One of the things I like what you're saying though about making that whole life transition, you know, making that transition of having a salary, having money, you know, you're having money coming in, to being a business owner and not having that cushion, you know. So I know that as a business owner, you've probably had these times of, you know, of anxiety. So tell me, how did you handle those moments?
Well, for me, it was spiritual based, because I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And God has guided me. There were times where I was down, where I wanted to give up, and God reminded me, I did not bring you this far for you to fail. I did not bring you this far for you to give up. I wanted you to transition from what you were doing because you were unhappy, to transition to something where you would be happy. And if I bring you to this path in your life, this is where you're intended to be. This is where you're meant to be. And everything that God does in our lives is for a reason, a season, and a certain period of time. And I've learned that if you put your faith in God, everything will work out. And the key for me is I walk by faith and not by sight. Just because it looks doom and gloom doesn't mean that it's going to be doom and gloom. Life is not going to be perfect, because a lot of people expect life to just be picture perfect and rosy. But that's life like that is boring. You've got to have trials and tribulations to have a story to tell. You have to have failures so that they can teach you lessons. And I'm part of a wonderful organization called Heal a Woman, Heal a Nation, and they had this tele-summit where they said, and I'll never forget it, failure is a way for you to fall forward, not back. Failure is a way for you to fall forward. And I have kept that in my head. And then I went to another seminar, get the bully out of your head. We allow the bully, which I call Satan for me, to put negative stuff in our head. And the way to combat the bully is to put positive stuff. Instead of saying, why, you know, I don't have a lot of money, say, why am I so rich? Because you have a roof over your head, you have a family that loves you, you have friends that support you, you are enjoying your life. So from now on, I say, why am I so rich in life? Why do I have so much? Why do other people envy me? And that once you start putting that positive talk in your head, things start changing greatly. Your outlook on life changes, and then your circumstances and your surroundings start changing.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Who was your, you know, who did you have as a support team outside of your belief? Did you have family or friends that you could say were really, you know, my support team? They were there to encourage me every time I saw them. Is there anyone like that in your life?
My dad, my dad's mother, my mother's mother, my mother, my crazy young brother, one of the baby brothers, or not the baby baby, because I have two baby brothers, the baby Dirk, but not even the baby baby Donovan, both of them, the two baby boys of the family, Donovan, Dirk, they were my good support system because they make me laugh. And I have, like, my friend Jackie. She's been my friend for almost 20 years when I was in. Everybody else abandoned me. As soon as I told them I no longer practice in law, it was like, see your girlfriend? I couldn't even get them to give me a recommendation for a job. But my friend Jackie, my friend Manir Matt, who's been my friend since college, and my friend Aretha, they were the only three friends who stuck with me through thick and thin. And I hate to say it, that's the three main friends that I have, and I have a new friend named Lucretia. Me and her are good buddies, and she's been out there for me. And then my mentor, Sheila Johnson, I may not talk to Sheila for 3 months at a time, but she is always there for me. So that has been my support system. And my new support system, my new mentor, William Murray, he's a good guy, and I finally got to meet him in person this past Saturday at an event we went to, because we've been talking to each other on the phone, and we met through Facebook. So I try to keep my circle small, and like I tell my clients, when you start in a business, you got to have that dream team. You have to have that dream team. I call it the dream team because these are the people that are going to help your business go to the next level. You need an attorney. You need an accountant, a bookkeeper, a banker, an insurance agent, a mentor, and a good support system of family and friends. And people got to realize that they cannot do everything themselves. Like, I like the fact that you, Celeste, you have your team together. And I'm starting to build my team. Like, I have editors. I have several editors that I have. I have several publishers who are going to help me with my books. I have several mentors. I have some lawyers that I have met who said that they would help me with my practice. I have an accountant and a bookkeeper. I have not reached out to them because I'm not to that point yet, but I have it all set up. And I have my banker, and every time she sees me, Tanya sees me, she says, Dianya, I know you're coming to me. Dianya, I know once you get financially stable, you will come to me and open your business account. So it's like, and you let these people know to let them know what you're doing and how you're progressing. And that's the key. That's why, like I said, personal connection is important. It's okay to do the social media thing, but don't alienate yourself from going out and socializing with people.
Well, one thing that I love that you said is about your team, because that's exactly what I learned in building my own team. It was not only my team that works within the organization, but it was also my team outside of that. It was kind of hilarious, but when I had to step from behind the magazine, which my husband was, he was the front man. And so when he passed away, I was the front person. So one of the things I did in getting that team together was what was going to be my life team and who was going to be my business team. So one of the things I like what you said, especially for women, because this is the area, some areas that we really don't deal with is we don't deal with who's going to be the accountant, who's your financial advisor. Those are really very important, because a lot of women have worked probably 20 years before they decided to branch off on their own, and they haven't done anything when it comes to their own personal finance. So what I did, it was kind of hilarious. I went to the bank and I said, I want to open up an account. And she said, well, okay. So she said, so what's this account for? I said, it's for the future finances of the business. what was hilarious is I said, she got it. She really got it. Okay. And so it was kind of hilarious. She says, I totally understand. I said, I want to make sure that I know when these things start flowing, where they're going to go. So that was one thing I did. And then I went and talked to a financial advisor, and we sat there, and I'm still in that phase, but we sat there and talked about where I'm at, where I'm going. And this I want to say to women, especially, I'm glad you brought this up, because one of the things that I kept running into, I would go to a financial advisor, or I would call one, and when I was searching for an advisor, and they couldn't tell me what was the best plan for a woman in the second stage of her life to create a financial plan.
Yeah.
And I was,
exactly.
And so I kept coming up against that wall. So I happened to go to a networking group, and these are why networking groups are good. You can't go to everyone, but you're going to find, keep going until you find that right group of people. I met a financial advisor who, in the second part of her life, became a financial advisor. And it was really interesting, because she knows how to lay that plan out no matter what the circumstances that you've been through, going through, and when it comes to creating something for yourself in your future. Many of us are coming out of a life or coming out of corporate America, or like you coming out of practice, and we're realizing, oh, I have 20 more years to do something for myself. So please, ladies who are listening, do not do that financial planning. That is very important. And like Danya said, it's important to have that lawyer. It's important to have that mentor. It's important to have, those key people in place to help you with this journey that you're on. So I really appreciate that you said that. One of the things about this program that I love is that every program's not the same, and we always have a guest who will bring something up that is just really crucial information, really crucial information. So I appreciate that you said that. Well, one of the things I do want to ask you now is, so everybody defines success differently. How do you define your success up to now?
My success up to now is I'm amazed at how far I have come, and I'm amazed at how far I will go. Okay. And I'm just happy with my life right now, because I'm in a peaceful place. May not have a lot of money, but I'm rich beyond measure in other ways, from the love and support of family and friends, and from the love and support that I have with God and my personal relationship with God. And I've been through a lot of tragic things that have happened in the past year, like the death of a favorite aunt. And a lot of my family members are still mourning her loss. But I'm not mourning her loss, because she was the life of the party. And she was one of those people, my Aunt Emily, where she wanted you to enjoy life. and to live the life. And one thing I learned about her is to have your faith and know, because she told her husband, if you don't get me my house, I'm leaving you. And he wound up getting her her house. When they had to move out of their apartment, she moved in with her daughter and told him, until you get my house, I'm not moving back with you, because his family had a house. And she and he got her the house, and she lived the life that she wanted to live. And she loved her children. She took care of her grandkids. But she enjoyed life. She didn't take life too seriously. And that's one thing that I learned from her. It's not to take life too seriously, and you only have one life to live, and live it to the fullest. Live it the way you want to live it. Live it the way that God intended you to live. Live a purpose-filled life intended for you, and do not worry about what the naysayers say. Because I always get this, why don't you have kids? Why didn't you have kids? Why didn't you do this? Why do you focus on your career? Everybody's not meant to be, you know, to have children. And I'm like, if I would have had children, I wouldn't have had time to help you raise your kids. And then they think about that. So it's like, so for me, success is just being happy and enjoying life. And when the trials and tribulations come, you just woo-saw and be like, okay, this is another stepping stone for me to move forward with my life.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you said that. It's interesting that people think that because you're not part of maybe what's considered the norm, and who knows who makes up the rules about what's considered the norm, but people, you know, people have a hard time fitting you into or thinking about you being happy when, you know, these are the decisions that you make for yourself. So I agree with you there. Success is part of is being happy. Knowing where you want to be and being happy in that place. And I agree with you there. Well, one of the things I want to talk about right now, Danya, is your books that are coming up. The first book, and then we're going to talk about each one. The first book is How to Succeed in Business, Daily Devotionals for Entrepreneurs. And it's this book is some short essays on various issues that people are faced as business owners and entrepreneurs face today. And it's kind of a devotional essay book. And you have in here that it touches on various issues faced by entrepreneurs in the 21st century, like fear of success, rejection, loneliness, and money management. Let's talk about fear of success. Give me an example of what the book touches on when it comes to fear of success.
Well, some people they are afraid to, I hate this cliche, come out of their comfort zone. People are afraid to try new things. And that's what I find that a lot of people are afraid of. And another thing is people have the stigma that once you reach a certain age, you can't do different things. You can't change what you're doing in life. And that's what I have discovered with people. But now, like, my dad's generation, they are redefining old age. To them, when you hit 65, it's not your life is over. It's like you're going to enjoy life. They are still working. Right. They're still enjoying life. You know, they're not like what our grandparents were. Okay, 65, I'm going to sit down and retire and spend time with the grandkids. Not our parents. They're not doing that. They're enjoying life. And they're living life to the fullest. And I find that no matter what age you are, you can do certain things that you want to do. You know, your body will let you know when you shouldn't do certain things, but you should just not be afraid and try, because to me, one thing that I could say that nobody can take away from me was that I was a black female attorney with my own law practice. I did it. And I think a lot of people are afraid that they're going to fail. So what, you fail? Get up and do it again.
Okay. And what about loneliness? Because I found that to be interesting that you mentioned loneliness in this book.
Well, especially for women, as women, we define ourselves based on the people who are the intimate circle, based on our intimate circle. Some women feel that they have to have a husband. Some women feel that they have to have a husband and children, or even some women feel that they have to be in some type of relationship, whether or not the relationship is good or bad. And to me, I was always taught that you don't need a man. You desire a man's company, but you don't need a man. You need food, shelter, water, and clothing. That's the necessities you need in life. But anything else, it's a difference between being alone, lonely and alone. And being alone means that you have certain standards, and if someone wants to be in your intimate circle, they have to meet those certain standards. They don't have to meet every standard. I believe in the 80-20 rule. Give me 80%. I can deal with the 20% junk that you give me, as long as you give me 80%, and I will give 80%. Because everybody is not perfect. We all have flaws. But as a female entrepreneur, I find that some women cannot deal with the loneliness of their husband not supporting them, their significant other not supporting them, or their family not supporting them. And we have to realize that all the support we need sometimes comes from within yourself. And once you realize that the support you have is within you, you will surround yourself with the people who will support you, because it comes from within to the outside.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, and then you have a second book that's coming out called How to Develop a Strong Inner Willpower, Using the Gifts of Your Mind to Reach Your Desired Goals. Tell us about that book.
Now, that is funny, Celeste. Let me tell you how I got about doing that book. I do a lot of freelance writing through Elance. It's a site where it's for freelancers. And it was somebody that was looking for someone to ghostwrite a book for them on willpower. So I'm working on a book. I get the book finished. I send it to the client. The client says, I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't like it. So I sent an email back. So are you sure that you don't want this? I can go ahead and use this. I don't care. Use it. I'm going to find somebody else to do the book. So that's how the Willpower book came about. And so I had to critique it. I looked it over. And for me, it deals with how you prepare yourself for success in whatever you decide to do. But you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe that you can achieve anything no matter what is going on in your life. And that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. And with this book, in the beginning it starts out, write out some goals and dreams that you had, five goals and dreams that you had that you have never fulfilled. And then we take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why that book came out, and it just happened to be set in my lap because the individual, the client, didn't want the book for themselves. So it was like God was telling me, why do you want to just make about $500 when you can make way more money and you will be the author of this book?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, what are you doing now? What are some of the things? I know you're traveling to other cities to do workshops. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Well, I am so excited. I'm going to be going to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, coming next weekend, the weekend of August the 21st through the 23rd. And don't laugh at me, Celeste. This will be the first time I've been on a plane in about 10 years. Because all of the travel I've done is I've been on the road traveling. I like to drive. Catch on the train. And I haven't been on a plane in about 10 years, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm a little excited. Never been to Oklahoma City. And the funny thing is, when I told my baby brother Derek that I was going to Oklahoma, he's like, "You going to Oklahoma City? Are there black people in Oklahoma?" He was just joking with me. I'm saying, yeah, I don't know. It is the Midwest, so I'm excited. And that is the Mind Over Matter Expo. It's this organization called mompreneurs, and what they deal with the whole aspect of a mom being an entrepreneur, the spiritual, the physical, and the mental part of it. And my presentation is how to market your business on a shoestring budget without losing your mind. You know, how you can do the marketing and still have your sound mind. And I'm very excited about that. And the wonderful thing is they're allowing us to sell our products at the event. And then in October, I got another event coming up in Atlanta, Georgia. I believe that's the weekend of October the 22nd, 24th. And that topic will be how to cover your ASS with dollar signs. And the reason why I'm doing that is why you've heard of CYA letters, the importance of putting everything in writing as a business owner. And so that's called Woman Ignited, Woman Be Ignited. So I'm looking forward to that. And then I will have my book launching in September. I'm going to do my best to have the one in Myrtle Beach in September, the weekend of September the 18th. And I should have my first two books should be published no later than September the 10th because I had them returned from the editors. So I got to review them, so I'm going to start reviewing them next week. So it's a few things. It's like everything is starting to pick up because God told me when September comes, that's when everything will pick up regarding my business. So I'm really looking forward, and everything is picking up, and I'm just excited about the next coming year.
Fantastic. So let me ask you now about your books. Are you self-publishing your books, or have you got a publisher for the book?
Well, let me tell you that story. I have a wonderful publisher named Felicia Thomas, and I'm going to keep her as my publisher. But she realized that my funds were not matching up with the services that she provided. So she gave me some tips on self-publishing. So the first two books will be self-published. And I've been taking some classes. I've been talking to other people who have self-published, and I've taken my notes, and I've done my research before I decided to self-publish on the best websites to do, and I've received great advice, and I'm going to take that advice, and I'm going to do it because, to me, when you're learning how to do things, when you bring people on your team, even though they're doing a specific role or task, you should know that task or role yourself just in case something happens to them. Like with the editing part, I took a couple of editing courses and webinars on how to edit, and I'm reading books. Like one book I'm reading is called Writer to Writer, and he's teaching you how to edit your own material, especially when it comes to my blogs, and I'm starting to notice a difference and how my blogs sound to me. They are starting to read a lot better, and I'm learning how to use less words to give stronger meaning. So when you're out there doing all of this, make sure you take, it's a lot of free webinars and courses that people are providing, and they're providing you with all of these resources and tools. Take advantage of it.
Okay, all right. I have one more question for you, Danya, but before that, I'd like you to tell our guests, our listeners, where they can find you and how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, my contact information, if they wanted to talk to me personally, my phone number is 443-635-4557. My email address where they can reach me is D as in Danya. My last name is Zimmerman, Z as in zebra, Immerman, 36@gmail.com. My two Facebook pages are, all you have to do is put in FACNBC for Family and Community Mediation, and put in Powerful Biz, B-I-Z, as in zebra, woman, for Powerful Biz Woman. And my website is www.conflictresolutionandconsulting.com. And they can also find me at the Twitter hashtag at FACNBC. And my Periscope hashtag is at FACNBC. And I am on LinkedIn. All they have to do is put in my name, Diana Zimmerman, or DZ Consultant and Mediator. And that's how they can find me on LinkedIn.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I also see on here that you are a contributing writer with the Maryland Daily Examiner newspaper, as well as being a guest blogger. Can you tell me what do you usually write on when you're writing for the Examiner, or what do you usually blog on?
Well, the wonderful thing is, since then, I'm a guest blogger on Leadership Girl Newsletter. I'm a guest blogger on Woman, the magazine Woman, on success and professional pastors. It's like God is blessing me. Everybody now wants me to guest blog. And normally what I write on is I try to write on the spiritual aspect of being a female entrepreneur. And I do a lot of how-to on startups. My niche is people who want to start a business. And that's what I focus on. It's people and women who want to start a business, and I give them the necessary tools so that they can be properly set up. Like, I'll talk about, you know, accounting terms that you need to know, why a financial planner is important, why an accountant and bookkeeper is important, why a lawyer is important. I do, like, the beginning, like, why you should have a good accounting system, like QuickBooks, and that's what I normally write about.
Okay. All right. Well, Donya, now, as we're coming to the end of our program, and I really appreciate you for being on here, it's really been a very good talk. I'm sure that a lot of women have gotten some great information. But I'd like you to tell me now, what would be some of the really high note points that you would give advice on to women that may be listening to the program? What are some of the most important advice tips that you would give them at this time?
Well, if they plan on starting their business, the most important things I would tell them is to keep a business journal, do a business plan, do a marketing plan, and do an action plan. And the reason why I think you need a business plan, a marketing plan, is an action plan is because it will keep you on track to getting your business properly set up and to getting your business launched the right way. And I would also advise them, if you cannot afford to hire like people like you and me, Celeste, there are a lot of resources, especially if they go to Small Business Administration, SBA.gov, they can find a local SBA office in their local town, city, or state that they live in, and start there, because they have free mentors, they have free business coaches, and they provide you with the resources that you need to start up your business. They have classes, and the most that their classes charge is no more. I've been to some of their classes where I've only paid no more than $100. But the majority of the time, SBA.gov has a lot of free resources. And also, if you don't have time to go to their classes, they actually have webinars on SBA.gov, and I go to their webinars, like on how to set up your business, how to do a business plan, how to start government contracting. So the first key is go to your local Small Business Administration office, and you can find that at SBA.gov. And you should also have a Small Business Development Center, SBDC. They're located in every city and state as well.
Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Donya, I wish you much success on the books, and I definitely would love to have you come back again, and we'll be talking. Everybody that makes a connection with Vertical, we consider you family, and we always, one of the things that I like about the Women on the Rise program is that not only do we feature you, but there's always someone that could use someone's help. And we have connected women with each other. You know, someone might come and say to me, you know what, I need this. And I say, oh, you know what, I have somebody for that. So it's also a great referral source. It's also a great resource source. So, you know, you're always welcome if you're going to be in different cities or if you're going to be doing a workshop or a webinar to post it on the Woman on the Rise page. To invite other women to definitely come and listen to you. I think conflict resolution is a great area that a lot of business owners have issue with. And I think that once you learn to get past that, that you do pretty well. So I definitely appreciate you having on here, being on the program. I definitely would love to be able to get a copy of your book. So when you definitely get it published, please hit me up so I can get a copy of each book.
I sure will, Celeste, and I thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. And I think you're doing a wonderful thing, which allows small business owners to let people know who they are, what services they provide, and how they can help that particular customer. And thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your team and be on your show. I really, truly enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Danya. Thank you for your advice. I'm sure a lot of women have been inspired by that. And if you'd like to be a featured guest on Vertical Live Radio, just contact us at info@vertical, V-E-R-T-I-K-A-L, lifemagazine.com. If you'd like more information on Danya, we will post her this information on our Vertical Live Magazine Facebook page, and look for the same article. We will be posting the article in the magazine and posting that on our Facebook as well. Danya, it's been so great to talk to you. We will be connecting soon. Have a wonderful day, and keep inspiring women wherever you go.
Same to you, so let's have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Thank our guests for coming and all of our supporters from that always are here on Vertical Live. Have a great evening.
This is the last take for the night. Understand that's kind of late, and I got to get home to my son because he's so special to me. I mean, I got to see him. I need to breathe him. That's my baby. Don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so... I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed. Woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed. Yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. Yes. My son, father doing his absolute. I'm so blessed.